Hey, welcome, welcome. There's not many of us here this morning, but God is still at work. God is still powerful, and His Word still does its work. So let's pray that God be working in us right now as we come to look at His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that we would delight in Your Word this morning. We do ask that we would love it, that we would cherish it, that we would be changed by what You have to say to us through it. And we do pray that we would love You all the more and to be devoted wholeheartedly to the One who has saved us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how much something is worth is seen in what you are willing to give up for it. A survey was done in the 1980s of elite athletes by a guy called Robert Goldman. And he asked them this question. If they could take a drug that would guarantee them overwhelming success in their chosen sport, but it would cause them to die after 5 years, would they? And approximately half of them answered, yes. These professional athletes would be willing to give up their lives for a chance of success in sport. Winning, success, being the best was everything to them. It was worth everything to them, even if it meant they would lose their life. How much something is worth is seen in what you're willing to give up for it. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. How much is Jesus' death worth? How much is Jesus' death worth to you? And as we come to Mark 14, that is the question that God is putting to us today. We're now in the final section of Mark's gospel. We're heading towards the climax of the whole book. We're heading towards Jesus' death. Now in this passage, it's just a couple of days before Jesus is crucified, and he's having dinner with his 12 disciples in the house of Simon the leper. But then all of a sudden, the dinner is interrupted by a woman whose actions seem, well, over the top, extravagant and just full on. But the reason Mark tells us about this woman is because her response to Jesus' upcoming death is the right response. Really, it's the only response we should have. We see this extravagant response to Jesus' death in Mark 14. And as a church, as Christians, we really should ask ourselves if we adore Jesus like this woman. We need to be challenged to think if there is anything that we value more than Jesus. So let's look at the passage. First point, adore your dying king, verses 1 to 11. Look at verse 3. While he was in Bethany at the house of Simon, who had serious skin disease, as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of pure and expensive fragrant oil of nard. She broke the jar and poured it on his head. I heard that at the height of his excess, Sir Elton John was spending £250,000 a month on flowers. £250,000 a month on flowers. I mean, I don't mind a good flower, but that is ridiculous. He later admitted that it was maybe a little over the top, and I'm sure we would all agree. It's kind of laughable, that kind of spending on flowers. Until you put it next to the needs of the very poorest in our world. And really, in light of that, it's disgusting. In isolation, that is the kind of awful extravagance of this woman's actions. In today's world, the perfume that she pours out on Jesus is worth about $85,000, all wasted on this one over-the-top gesture. And I think we're kind of sympathetic with the response of those who are looking on at this woman. Verse 4, but some were expressing indignation to one another. Why has this fragrant oil been wasted? For this oil might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they began to scold her. On the surface, it seems like such a waste, doesn't it? But look at Jesus' response to their rebuke of this woman. Jesus says what this woman has done is not only right, but is good. What on the surface seems like wasteful and reckless is in fact the right response, says Jesus. Verse 6, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a noble thing for me. You always have the poor with you, and you can do what is good for them whenever you want. But you don't always have me. See, it's not that Jesus thinks caring for the poor isn't important. Just read the Gospels and you know that isn't the case. But Jesus says at this moment, there is something more important, something that this woman gets about his death that makes what she's doing completely right. So verse 8, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body in advance for burial. You see, this woman's action isn't isolated, but it's leading up to Jesus' death, and she's understood that somehow. This woman has grasped how precious Jesus' death is. This death that is just days away now. How much is Jesus' death worth to her? Well, it's worth more than this perfume, equivalent of a year's wages. It's worth more than anything she has in the world. This woman really does adore her dying king, and she shows it. Jesus' death is approaching, and he's helping her prepare for it, no matter what the personal cost to her. And what we see is that worship of Jesus is costly. And I'm going to say, I think that is something we as Western Christians find really hard to grasp. We so often take the gathering of God's people lightly. We'll go to church when it's easy, when the church is near, when the band is red hot, when the preacher is amazing, when the weather isn't bad, when the parking is close, if I don't have anything else booked in that morning, if the time fits and suits my lifestyle. How much is Jesus' death worth to you? And just compare this woman's response with Judas. Judas, who is one of the 12, he spent the last 3 years with Jesus, hearing him teach, watching him heal the lame, the deaf, the blind, the mute. He's seen him cast out demons. He's calmed storms. He's seen him feed 5,000 with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. Judas has seen the power of Jesus. Here is his friend, the true king of Israel. But he's willing to give him up, betray him for just 30 pieces of silver. That is what Jesus and Jesus' death is worth to him. And this is one of the parts that I find really challenging. How much would it cost for me to betray Jesus? What is your price that you would give up on Jesus? Well, the acceptance on social media or in your workplace, the career that you might be pursuing, your friends, your house, what is it? But if worship means real effort and cost and sacrifice, well, then often we're just disinclined to make it. But this woman gave all that she had, and the question for us is, how much is Jesus' death worth to you? But what does this woman get that really others in the passage don't seem to? And that's what Jesus shows us in the second feast, in the next part of this chapter, verses 12 to 26. She gets that Jesus is dying for her. We should adore our dying king because he dies for you. See, the key to understanding Jesus' death in Mark's gospel is Mark's repeated mention of the Passover. It's mentioned four times in this short passage. Now, the first Passover actually happened thousands of years before Jesus' death. Israel, God's people, were slaves in Egypt. And after sending 9 terrible plagues against Pharaoh and Egypt to free his people, God sends the last one and the worst one of all. A plague against the firstborn son in all the land. And in every home that night, whether Jew or Egyptian, God's wrath would be poured out and there would be a death. The angel of death would not simply pass over the Israelites because they were God's people. Everyone in the land deserved judgment for sin. And so the only way for a family to escape was to put their trust in God's promise and provision. And so what they were to do was they were to take the lamb, and that lamb was to be killed instead of the firstborn son. And the blood of the lamb was to be painted on the door sills of the house and a window and a sign that they had put their trust in God and his provision. And every home in Egypt that night, God's judgment would come against. And it needed to be satisfied.